السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وجاهدوا في الله حق جهاده، هو اجتباكم وما جعل عليكم في الدين من حرج، صدق الله العظيم. Ulama Ikram, most respected brothers, I have recited a portion of an ayat of the Quran Sharif. The discussion will inshallah center around this jihad. Jihad in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. That there was a real struggle in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam for the establishment of Islam. We all use this term very, very liberally, and each one of us, we make our own conclusions. But let us look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's time. His entire life was full of jihad. From the very moment that he received the instruction that he must convey this message, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was informed of his nubuwwat in the cave of Hira, that cave which is on Jabal Nur, because we are returning from there with the fazal of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, therefore this subject came to mind whilst I was just coming down from home now. Then let's see what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam went through. Now we require days and days to discuss this, but in the little time, just one aspect of it, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam then started conveying the message. Now every little child also who has done some Islamic history knows that they, from day one onwards, it was nothing but struggle. There was a struggle for the establishment of this deen. And such kind of conditions befell the Muslims that if we had been in that time, we would have left Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we would have distanced ourselves, we would have forsaken him like the munafiqeen did. We would have said, especially when they were ostracized and boycotted for 3 solid years. It is easy to read it, but to understand it is, and to experience it is a different thing. 3 solid years, and who is being boycotted and ostracized? The greatest after Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. لا يمكن الثناء كما كان حقه بعد خدا وزرقت قصة مختصر. And what kind of conditions? That the time comes when they have to chew leaves of trees for survival, chew leather for survival. Whose dua could have been more powerful than the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What a test it was for his companions, whether they believed in him as a messenger of Allah or not, or whether they were there just for the halwa, and when the balwa comes, they all disappear. They were not there for garlands, that when you accept Islam as a prominent person in society these days, then you are garlanded, you are welcomed, you are given stages and platforms. There was nothing but stoning, lashing, beating, persecution and torture. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and his companions, look at their steadfastness. So it was struggle from day one. Now we can't go through the whole history, but then let's come to one place which we always go and make ziyarat of when we go to Madina Sharif. And that is the area where the battle of the trench took place. Now that is the subject that came to mind, but again that requires a lot of time. But I'll just give you a bit of it, just to show what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and his companions went through for the establishment of this deen. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we know that in the battle of Badr, there were just 313 of them, and the opposition was 1,000 fully armed. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave them victory. Allah ta'ala sent down 3,000 angels and another ayat 5,000 angels to give them support. One angel's wing the tip of his wing was sufficient to raise up the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, those people who were indulging in homosexual activities, take the whole earth up to the skies and turn them upside down. He could have done that there too. One angel could have done it. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala was testing them, and Allah ta'ala had his own planning that from amongst these very people, they will come out Sayyidina Khalid bin Walid radiyallahu ta'ala, Sayyidina Sufyan, Hazrat Sufyan radiyallahu ta'ala. Now all these people, they were not Muslims at that time, they were the leaders of the enemies, and so many others, Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala, as I mentioned last night also, that he came out with a sword to go and assassinate Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives him hidayat. Then later he becomes Amirul Mu'mineen. And then when he passes away, he's buried next to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. From way to way. Therefore I always say that never ever say that this person will never change. Never ever say this person will never change. We don't know what kind of changes can come in that person's life when he makes sincere tawbah, when he starts paying back to everybody what is due, when he starts repenting of his sins, when he gives up all that drug and wine and women, we don't know. And that person who was outwardly very pious and righteous, but pride and arrogance came in his life, then aise waise kaise kaise ho gaye, kaise kaise aise waise ho gaye. A person who is in one of the universities in one of the countries, so he says that my brother was instrumental in bringing me onto deen. I was way out. I had no interest in deen. I was engaging in a lot of haram activities. This brother of mine, he kept on encouraging me and pushing me until I became a 5-time namazi and I came on deen. He says, but the sad part is that this brother of mine is now in one of the universities in Delhi, in India, and he has written to me, don't ever talk to me about Islam. I don't want to hear about deen. And I have forsaken Islam. And he has become a total atheist. He has become an atheist. That very person who brought somebody else onto deen. Therefore we should never ever allow any kind of pride and arrogance to come into us. When we start making a little bit of salat, a little bit of zikr, a little bit of tilawat, a little bit of dawat and tabligh, then we start getting that pride that now I am Mr. Somebody. And I am reaching great heights. But we just don't know when that person can slip and fall. So we adopt humility. With humility, go on doing the work of deen. Allah Ta'ala will go on raising that person's status. Nevertheless, so Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in the battle of Badr, then in the battle of Uhud again, 70 sahabas of his, and amongst whom was one of his uncles, Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu ta'ala. Again, every little child of history knows. And those who go to Uhud, and when they see that area where this battle took place, we cannot help but the tears flow down our cheeks when we recall that incident, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when the search for the bodies is being taken, and he himself is injured, his teeth shattered, he fell down unconscious, he bleeds profusely, his daughter and his son-in-law, they bring water to wash. Now all those things that when we recall, and then he's searching for the bodies, and there he finds Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, who was martyred by Wahshi. Then that Wahshi too became Sayyidina Wahshi, he accepted Islam. So at that time, seeing the nose cut, the ears cut, the chest split open, the liver removed, the heart removed. Now all these things were done to the body of his uncle. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was a rock of patience, but he too cannot hold back his tears. Now in Uhud again, 70 sahabas. And for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam to look at those 70 sahabas' bodies, Hazrat Abdullah bin Jash, Hazrat Musab bin Umair radiallahu ta'ala, and so many others. You think it was an easy sight? Again, struggle, struggle, struggle. Then we go on, and then comes this battle of the trench. Now here, it is what we term as a confederation. Confederation of armies. As we had in the Iraq war, in the other war, every time they are getting together. Either you are with us or you're not with us. Now this confederation. Coalition of forces. So after the defeat at the Battle of Uhud, Huyay bin Akhtab, who was a Yahudi again, now he goes there to Makkah Mukarramah. This is what the Yahudis and the Jews have been doing all along in history. Right from day one, they have troubled the prophets of Allah. They have troubled Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. They have troubled his companions. After they were banished also, they increased the problems. So Huyay bin Akhtab goes to Makkah Mukarrama, and he incites those people in Makkah Mukarrama, the Quraysh, and he says that, why are you sleeping here? I'm just giving you an explanation. He incites them to, and prepares them for a battle against the Muslims in Madina Sharif. Again, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam hasn't even had a time to breathe. Battle of Uhud, in between there were so many other little battles. Then comes the battle of Badr, then the battle of Uhud. After Uhud again there's little battles until now we come to this Ghazwa Ahzab. Now Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala describes this in the Quran Sharif, and as I said, for that we need a heart to listen to and we need the time. But Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now is informed of this. Huyay bin Akhtab goes there and he gets the Quraysh ready. And then one of them goes over to Ghatfan, and there he goes and tells them, Kinana bin Rabi, he goes there. And he tells them, we promise you half of all the produce of Khaybar, all the dates of Khaybar, half of that is for you, if you join us to go and fight the Muslims. Now isn't that the same thing that's happening? We will give you so many million dollars, we will give you so many billion dollars, or we will wipe out your debts, we will do this, we will do that. All you have to do is give us logistical support sometimes, and sometimes real support to fight the Muslims. But the sad part is this, that now it is Muslims that's fighting Muslims, and the Muslims are being used to fight the Muslims. But now at that time, these Yahudis, they went and they got these parties ready. On the way, any other tribe and clan, just to cut it short, whoever they found, everyone was given some kind of incentive or some kind of promises were made to them. And that is the weakness of man. Either it is wealth or women. These are the two things which has caused havoc in history from day one. Either a person has been bought off by wealth, or he has been trapped in the web of women's beauty. In these two things, when they get trapped, then after that you cannot expect anything. That person can then sell your whole country, he can sell the state, and he will do anything. So here again, on the way, and this is what we take lessons from history when we go Makkah Sharif, Madina Sharif. It's not just tourism, we went and visited Makkah Sharif, Madina Sharif. We should be reading up the history before even going there. So now again, promises along the road, and anyone they could get, 10,000 of them, and according to some 24,000 now, all came. Confederation, coalition, everybody out to destroy the Muslims. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam at that time, straight away in consultation with the Sahaba ikram, and that's where Hazrat Salman, who was a Persian, then he gave this mashwara and he gave this opinion. He said that we should dig a trench. Now there's great detail about the trench also, which we can't go into now, but he must dig a trench, and he said that this is the way that we used to fight our enemies and defend ourselves also. He was dig a huge trench. So 10 yards by 10 yards, whatever it is in meters, that is how the deep. And the trench was dug so deep that the water appeared in the ground. Now you can imagine how deep that must have been. 10 people were allocated, 10 meters or 10 yards. Now the Sahabas at that time who were digging the trench, they were not like us with our bellies over full. They didn't have to go on a weightless diet because they overate. The stomachs were empty, empty. Total starvation and hunger was at that time had gripped the ummah in Madina Sharif. Now again, people like us would have said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we thought that if we have to accept Islam, straight away man and salwa will fall from the heavens and our stomachs and bellies will be full and we'll get gold and silver and we'll get oil wells. And here we are seeing such kind of difficulties after accepting Islam. Not one of them said that. They are digging the trench. One sahabi merely said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, due to hunger, he said, look at my stomach. I've got a stone tied on my belly. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, for whom the whole kainat was created. Na masjid ke unche minare, na qibla, na kaaba, na makkah, madina. Agar Muhammad na hote, to kuch bhi na hota. He picks up his kurta and says, I've got two stones tied on my belly. In hunger, Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam himself is digging the trench. They are removing the sand, the stone. They come across a big boulder which the Sahabas also couldn't crack. They give the pickaxe to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam with one strike. Now again, just to give you the gist of it, with one strike when the sparks flew, Nabi and it broke into one third. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that in these sparks he saw the red palaces of Syria. Now in that spark he's seeing that. Then the second strike, and he says, I've been shown all the white palaces of Persia, and I've been given the keys to that. And then he says, I've been given the keys to Yemen, and I can see the palaces of Sana'a. Now in those sparks, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is seeing the Persian Empire and the Roman Empire, and he's seeing the Sana'a and Yemen and everything else. Now in those days, if we had been living, we would have denied it. We would have said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, how can you tell us something that we cannot even believe and understand? It is not logical, it is not rational, that in sparks you are seeing all these palaces and you are seeing all this. What is the television today? On the television set you are sitting here and you are seeing all the palaces and things around the world. Now we believe it. But that time when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said. And also the other lesson is that when is Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioning these palaces? He's mentioning it at a time when they're extremely weak. There's great amount of poverty. And here they are really struggling to defend this small community in Madina Sharif. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is talking about the palaces of Persia and the Roman Empire and Syrian Empire, all the big countries of the world. We can say that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was mentioning that those were the superpowers. He says that Allah Ta'ala has given me the keys to that. Did any companion of his have the slightest doubt on Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? They could have said, you are tying two stones on your belly and you're telling us about Persian and Roman empires. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam at that time in such difficult conditions, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala himself mentions it, is ja'ukum min fawqikum wa min asfala minkum wa izzaghatil absaru wa balaghatil qulubul hanajir wa tazunnuna billahi zununa. هُنَالِكَ ابْتُلِيَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَزُلْزِلُوا زِلْزَالًا شَدِيدًا. This is the gist of which is again. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, when they came from above you and from beneath you, from all sides, that means they came. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, when they came from above you, beneath you, from all sides, when they came. وَبَلَغَتِ الْقُلُوبُ الْحَنَاجِرِ وَإِزَّاغَتِ الْأَبْصَارِ. The eyes also became blurred. And بَلَغَتِ الْقُلُوبُ الْحَنَاجِرِ. The hearts came up to the throat as if the hearts had come up to the throat. In other words, the person has given up hope now, finished. That's the end of life. وَتَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ ظُنُونَ. And you also began to entertain certain kind of thoughts about your Allah. هُنَالِكَ ابْتُلِيَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. This is where the Muslims were really, really tested. وَزُلْزِلُوا زِلْزَالًا شَدِيدًا. And they were shaken up, a real shaking. Now why was all this done? It was to separate, as we say, the men from the boys. So it was to separate the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, from the people of true iman. That is why those tests come. It's not that Allah Ta'ala doesn't know about it. Allah Ta'ala knows who is a true mu'min and who is not a true mu'min. But Allah Ta'ala puts the believers and the righteous ones and sometimes the very pious ones through certain tests to show to the people and to show to mankind that these are my true servants. These are my true servants. They will undergo any kind of test and trial, but they will not forsake the deen of Islam. Today for pretty faces the person gives up his deen. For a little bit of wealth he gives up his deen. Here with all these tests was zulzilu zilzalan shadida, but still they are solid. And this. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself is participating in the digging of this trench. Now we can just picture Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, greatest after Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala could have sent all the angels to dig up the trench. Now he is also picking up a pickaxe and is digging. Bismillahi wa bihi badina, walau abadna ghayrahu shaqina. And what is he saying? In the name of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, we are commencing this digging of the trench. If only we had worshipped anyone else besides Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then we would have been the most unfortunate people in this world. The greatest after Allah is saying that. That in spite of all these difficulties, And his sahaba and his companions, while they are digging that trench, in that poverty and in that starvation, with no food in their stomachs, and severe winter, and some of them haven't even got a jersey or any kind of garment to keep them warm, and in that freezing winter, they are digging. And say, نَحْنُ الَّذِينَ بَايَعُوا مُحَمَّدًا عَلَى الْجِهَادِ فِي مَا بَقِينَا عَبَدًا. We have pledged on the hands of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam about jihad. Until our dying day, we are not going to forsake Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasallam and the struggle for his deen. They too are not saying that, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is this Islam that we have to go through so much of difficulties and pain and suffering? So we have pledged. Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasallam, as they are digging, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, there is no aish except the aish of Akhirat. Oh Allah, forgive this Ansar and forgive this Muhajirin. What kind of happiness and ecstasy and joy must have gone through their hearts despite that hunger and starvation and thirst when Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasallam with his Mubarak tongue, he said, oh Allah, forgive this Ansar and the Muhajirin. They knew that even if we don't get anything in this world, if we got forgiveness because of this dua of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it is sufficient for us in both worlds. Allahi lawla Allahu mahtadayna wala tasaddaqna wala sallayna. If Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's hidayat had not been there, we would not have been able to perform salat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, لَوْلَ اللَّهُ مَهْتَدَيْنَا وَلَا تَصَدَّقْنَا وَلَا صَلَّيْنَا فَأَنزِلَنْ سَكِينَةً عَلَيْنَا فَأَنزِلَنْ سَكِينَةً عَلَيْنَا وَثَبِّتِ الْأَقْدَامَ إِلَّا قَيْنَا. Oh Allah, keep us steadfast. فَأَنزِلَنْ سَكِينَةً عَلَيْنَا. Descend, send down the sakina upon our hearts. What is sakina? هي نور يستقر في القلب. In the midst of the battle also you need sakina. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is asking for sakina. And he said, keep us steadfast when we have to meet the enemies. At that time, keep us steadfast. إِنَّ الْأُولَىٰ قَدْ بَغَوْا عَلَيْنَا إِذَا أَرَادُوا فِتْنَةً أَبَيْنَا. Oh Allah, these people have done great injustice upon us, because what have we done wrong to them? We didn't go there to take their necks off for no reason. We didn't go there to trouble them. What else was Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam doing except inviting towards a deen which was to give them the best of this world and the best of the hereafter? And without any cost and without any charge and without any fees. Today no work of deen is done without any fees and without any payment. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all the Anbiya, لا أسألكم عليه أجرا إن أجري إلا على الله تعالى. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was not even asking them anything in return. He was giving to them that which was good for them for both worlds. And in return, what was he getting? Torture, persecution, ill treatment, swearing, cursing, all kinds of problems. So they say, Ya Allah, they have done great injustice to us. And they are always trying to get us trapped in fitnas. And every time that they try to trap us in fitnas, when we reject that fitna, then that's the time they try to increase the trouble and problem. Now in the light of that, we must look at the conditions around the globe and around the world. Everyone wants to catch the Muslims into different kinds of fitnas, different kinds of fitnas. Whether it is the holy lands or whether it is outside the holy lands, the fitnas are on the increase. The mischief is on the increase. The radios, the television, the newspapers, the magazines, the media, they haven't left the Muslim countries, or they haven't left Makkah Mukarramah and Madina Tayyibah. You will have 2-3 pages dedicated to what films are being shown on the different satellite stations. 2-3 pages of newspapers dedicated to that, with the pictures of the film actors and actresses. Sometimes to read certain news of what's happening around in the Middle East, if you look at some articles there, the other pages we just have to tear up and throw them away, or tear the whole newspaper and throw it away. And that too now and again, otherwise the person wasn't even making it a habit there. But this is what happens there. So the fitnas are pouring in there. And with regards to music, that which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, I have come to destroy. Believe me, at the moment that I entered the Haram Sharif, Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and I was making my 2 rakat salat, I just completed my salat, and making dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that, oh Allah, I am going to present myself now before the Rose of Mubarak of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And you have got many, many x-rays in this world which can x-ray different parts of the body. And here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's Mubarak eyes will x-ray my heart. I don't wish to present myself in a state that my heart is filled with malice, greed, pride, arrogance, envy, jealousy. Clean and purify my heart. Let me stand before my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in a state that he will be happy to receive me. Whilst making the dua and just about finishing, and Hindi music on the cell phone, loud and clear, and the person is not even concerned. He is in salah and the music is playing and playing and playing until he finished his salat, and then the people started cursing him after. Ah, ontre ont teri konsi kal sidi, O camel, which part of your body is straight? May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all hidayat. We mustn't lose hope in Allah ta'ala. He is very merciful, very forgiving, very kind. As I said, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Wahshi, and all these people, from way to way Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala took them. So we don't lose hope, but at the same time, we must stay away from fitnas. Otherwise, we will never ever find. I said, never ever say this person will never change. But one thing again I say, that we will never ever find peace, happiness, sukoon, tranquility in our hearts until and unless we resist those temptations of sins and we pledge our obedience to Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Otherwise our homes will be disaster on earth. I will conclude, and inshallah namaz will finish on time. Two families, different parties, from different places. Nobody will know who I'm talking about. And both of them having a big dispute. Now both parties come to me. One of them came and said, Maulana, make dua. You're in the Haram Sharif, yeah, make dua. Allah Ta'ala give me success in this court battle that I've got against so and so. After some time the other party came, Maulana, make dua. Allah Ta'ala give me success. So now somebody is wrong along the way. How can you make dua? Both people must be successful in court. So when the first one came, I said, I make dua, whoever is on haq and right and just and fair, Allah Ta'ala must make the decision in his favor. When the second party came, I told them the same thing. I make dua, whoever is on haq, he is right, he is fair and he is just, Allah Ta'ala must give justice, judgment in his favor. Finish. That's the best. One judge wrote to me, Muslim judge. He says that many a times I'm trapped in a situation where I have to give decision and judgment, which I truly believe is not Islamic. So of course there was a discussion, but I want to conclude on what I wrote to him. I wrote to him, when you are giving judgment, then at that time remember that there will be a day of judgment, on which day you will be judged with regard to that judgment that you gave in that case. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give you and the entire ummah the tawfiq of amal. May Allah ta'ala remove the difficulties, the pain, the problem and suffering of the entire ummah around the globe. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.